and welcome to the Added Value Podcast. I'm your host, Jules Thompson, and here we're talking all things influencer marketing. I'm honored to bring you the stories of hustlers making a difference in their sphere of influence. If there's one consistent message you'll see here, it's to own your unique value. Now, let's get to the show.
Consistency is by far the most important thing when it comes to Instagram. So I hit 10K beginning of this year, I think March. So for basically two years straight, I was on Instagram, engaging, posting every single day.
Welcome back to Added Value. It's Jules here, excited to introduce you to the voice behind that clip you just heard. Another value-packed episode with one of the kindest humans I've met the past year, Erica Batterman of the foodie blog and Instagram, Bowl Obsessed. Erica has been an invaluable part of our ambassador program since the very beginning, and as she shares in this episode, she grabbed our attention through organically creating so much amazing content and recipes for us using our products. She's a perfect example of how symbiotic a partnership should be between a brand and a content creator, not to mention how being self-taught and passionate can take you places you never thought possible. Now, speaking of things I never thought possible, y'all, I have been manifesting some really big things that I am so pumped to share with you guys in time. Although I'm not fully ready to share yet, I am just feeling super humbled and inspired by the opportunities that have been coming my way. I've been reminded recently that you never know who is watching or who is listening, and to keep giving whatever it is that you're working on your all. Even when you have those moments where it all feels in vain and the 20 hours you spend working throughout the weekend feel like way too much, if your mission is important to you, do not give up. And this is a reminder to myself more than anyone. On the other side of all that doubt and grinding is your dream, and you never know when you are going to get the big break you're looking for. Take it from me. I don't know if you've experienced this before, but for me, I also feel like whenever I'm the busiest, most focused, pressing the pedal to the metal is when I end up attracting opportunities and growth into my life. I'm not gonna lie, yes, I am feeling very overwhelmed in this phase, but I know what it's like to feel the opposite. I know what it's like to feel uninspired, unsure of what my next move is, unmotivated to do what's in front of me, and I would way rather be in this position. So I'm dealing with it by being super grateful and taking days and hours that I can to recharge so that I don't end up burning out. It's certainly hard, but making lists, forcing myself to put down my phone, spending time with close friends and loved ones really does help me to feel centered and ready to take on all the stuff that is coming my way. Having no time and a lot of things that I'm passionate about to do also forces me to be more resourceful with my time. For example, I couldn't stop thinking about it, so I outlined this intro while I was on the elliptical. I stayed late at work to record this intro because it's going to take me 45 minutes to sit in traffic, and I'd rather be here using all my leftover energy to record this intro than to do it when I get home after I've spent an hour in traffic and I just feel totally drained. So I'm taking advantage of this time. I recently traveled to LA for work, and I used the 4-hour flight to edit 2 entire episodes. Not to mention, the woman that was sitting next to me on one of the flights saw that I was editing a podcast. She ended up asking me what I did, and then we connected. We do very similar things. We have similar passions. So we ended up talking the entire time. And bam, just like that, another new amazing, powerful, inspirational woman entered my tribe, and it was such a cool experience. I'm telling you, if you work hard and just ignore the exhaustion that you're gonna feel and the imposter syndrome telling you to quit, good things will happen for you. All right, now I'm pumped for y'all to get to know Erica, her heart and her value. Some things we cover in this episode are how to pay attention to what you're driven by, even if you're not formally trained in it, If you suck at something the first time around, that doesn't mean you should quit. You should try again, get better, take the time, and if it's something you love, you'll master it. This is actually a huge thing for me. I can't tell you how many times I quit a sport or a club or an activity growing up because I was under some illusion that if I wasn't perfect at something the first time, it wasn't for me. I actually really regret all the things I didn't try harder to accomplish and get better at when I was younger, and I think that's part of why I'm so driven and consistent now. Yep, just a mini rant for you there, but back on track, we also chat about building a community and not just that, intentionally finding your niche and using that as a way to stand out on Instagram, which is super important. Erica has done this phenomenally. She talks about how impactful the relationships she's made through Instagram have been in her real life. We go through vulnerability, the comparison game, and really how you can serve and guide a community. Oh, it's so good. I love this conversation. I came out of it feeling like I had just come out of a therapy session. So I really hope you guys enjoy listening to it and get as much value from it as I did. Finally, before we jump right in, if you enjoyed this episode, it would be extremely helpful and amazing and so, so appreciated if you could leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It's very easy just to open up the Apple Podcasts app, find this podcast, and leave a review. It's really helpful at reaching people who could benefit from conversations like this and find out about this episode, find out about this podcast, and listen. It helps spread awareness about our mission here, and it just would mean a lot to me. I know your time is extremely valuable to you. Mine is to me, and I don't take it that lightly. So if you have gotten anything from any episodes that you've heard so far, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review. And on that note, all right, y'all, let's do this. Here's my chat with Erica from Bowl Obsessed. Tell me a little bit about your background, how you grew up, and how you fell in love with cooking.
How I fell in love with cooking? Oh, man. So it really wasn't a love until after college, but I do have a funny story on my first ever experience cooking. And my parents still tell the story and I'll never live it down. So my first ever cooking experience was when I was 18 and I wanted to impress my high school boyfriend, be all Betty Crocker, you know, and I wanted to make steak and potatoes, more specifically steak and twice baked potatoes. And for those of you that are listening that may or may not know what that is, so they're exactly how they sound, the twice baked potatoes. You bake them first, scoop out the pulp of the potato, mix other seasonings and condiments to them, and then stuff them back in the potato skin and bake them again, hence the twice baked potato, right? So I definitely did not do the baking first part. My mom came into the kitchen and she saw me scooping out raw potato. I'm not even kidding. It was ridiculous. And I was like, why is this so hard? I don't understand. And she just started laughing. There was raw potato everywhere. And it was just this huge mess. And like I said, I still can't live it down. They still tell the story. And so long story short, I ended up just making spaghetti and pasta sauce or something. And my dad ate the steak later or something. It's super embarrassing.
Well, I think it's actually super impressive that you could scoop out the inside of a raw potato.
I mean, it was a lot of arm work. I'm so embarrassed that to actually tell the story, but
no, I think we've all been there with food at some point or another. I like my extent to cooking is roasting vegetables. So, respect to you at your ambition. And obviously you've learned a lot along the way. Cause here you are now.
Here I am now. Yes. And my parents still can't believe it.
Well, tell me about the evolution or the birth story of Bowl Obsessed.
Sure. So after college, I was in sales and I had my own territory and I was on the road a lot. And so I really was just tired. I was tired of eating out, eating just random food on the fly, not knowing how to grocery shop. And most of all, I was tired of breaking out. I've always struggled with acne. And I was just doing a little research and and learned that, you know, it'd be helpful to eat more whole foods. And so I kind of listened to that information and I started purchasing, this is pretty funny, Martha Stewart's Everyday Food magazine at Barnes and Noble before I went to work one day. And they're the cutest little magazine. They're so small. And what I started doing was cooking her monthly magazines for 2 years straight. And I read them and I cooked cover to cover. I learned all about food, how to store the food, what was in season that month, how to repurpose it, how to use that food in different ways, and, you know, minimize waste, use all of the food. For example, obviously you can eat the beets, but the beet greens, the leaves are super nutritious. So I learned how to store them and how to saute them and add them to dishes. So I'd use the whole part of the food. And that's really where I learned all my information. So I'm completely self-taught. And it's a hobby. I mean, cooking and learning was a hobby for me back then. And so fast forward a few years, I just became kind of the healthy friend. Hey, Erica, you know how to cook this, you know, send me a recipe for this. So I actually started making meal plans for people. And I'm not a nutritionist. I will never give nutritional advice. I'll leave that to the dietitians and the actual nutrition folks. But I would do my best to kind of give people healthy swaps and good recipe ideas and kind of what I eat in a day. And so that's where it started. I became the hub for my friends and my family. So much so, I saw an audition for MasterChef. And this was back in 2017 in the spring. And I told my husband, I was like, you know what? Why not give this a try? I think I was in between jobs at that point and really didn't have anything else to do. So why not try something new and put myself out there? And it was a crazy cool experience. I made through all of the rounds on that first day, got a call back to come in for a recorded interview, I think a couple days later. And I was not cast, but I made it to the final portion that you could. And it was just the coolest experience, even though I didn't make it. And I'm really glad I didn't make it on another note. But I think a month after that, or a few weeks even, is when I just decided to jump into Instagram and start sharing recipes that way and kind of have my own little piece of the internet that I could send my friends and family to, like, oh, hey, I just posted this, go check it out. Or, oh yeah, you want to know how to make, you know, zoodles? Well, I just posted this, go check out my page type thing. And so that's how that started. And then a year later, after being on Instagram, I saw the need to start a blog. And so here we are.
Heck yeah, girlfriend. And, you know, only basically a year and a half later and you're already, you know, above 10,000 followers, which is crazy. I know when we first started working with you, you hadn't hit that benchmark yet. So a couple of things I want to note here is, how many times a week, how consistent were you in posting for how long before you hit that 10K mark? Just to, so people have context.
Sure, absolutely. Every single day. Consistency is by far the most important thing when it comes to Instagram. So I hit 10K beginning of this year, I think March. So for basically a year and a half, 2 years straight, I was on Instagram engaging, posting every single day. I feel like there were maybe one or two days where I was on vacation and needed to be present with family, but consistently on the gram. I think my screen time is like 8 hours.
Girl, same. For different reasons. My phone's like, wait, you've been on Instagram all day? And I'm like, yeah, but it's my job. So no, and I think that's such an important call out because I think impatience is definitely something that I struggle with. And I think a lot of people who have a perception that getting on Instagram and growing followers is supposed to be just this overnight thing is so just not realistic. So I always just like the opportunity to call out how long it really does take to cultivate an audience and all the work that it takes. So when you're posting every single day, are you batching content or are you plugging it in as you go?
you know, I need to be better, but I am just plugging it in as I go. I do my best to plan ahead if I know I have something coming up or if there's a specific holiday that I have a good recipe for. I'll try to be a planner in that aspect, but I really, it's really just kind of on the fly sometimes, you know, but I never want to post just to post either. So I really try to, you know, just like the name of your podcast, I really try to add value to every post, whether it's a little bit of a food fact in there or just an easy cooking tip. So I try to have value versus just my funny food puns at the beginning of a caption or something. But it is a lot of hard work, but not just the following. I like to call it, you know, building a community and quality people, because I want them to know me and to trust me. And when they see me posting something, it's for the right reasons. Like I actually use this every day in my kitchen, or I really truly believe in this company or this brand or this product. And so that's important to me as well when I'm building that. And the followers will come, but also you want to find that right audience too, and not just focus on the numbers.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because one thing I wanted to chat with you about is that, you know, the name of your Instagram account is Bowl Obsessed. And I'm curious if it's intentional that you decided to kind of like niche down or put yourself in this one specific category of recipes and bowls and making them beautiful and things like that. Was that intentional, or was that kind of just because it happened to be that
way? Sure. No, gosh, I love this question. I'm glad you asked this. Couple reasons. One, I just love eating food out of a bowl, right? It's just so fun to just pile in this bowl, sit on your couch or at your table and dig in, right? And so truly, I just love eating out of bowls. And I found myself eating out of the same $8 Target bowl that I had. I'm not kidding. I feel like I have all these plates and small dishes, but I would eat out of the same bowl like forever. So really the word bowl obsessed actually means something to me. And I don't try to pigeonhole and just be bowls either, but that is really where it came from. And in all honesty, I probably waited a year to start my Instagram account because I couldn't figure out a good name for myself or what to call myself. Everything healthy or fit or food in the handles were taken. And so I really took a lot of time to think about it. And I look sometimes on GoDaddy what my handle and what my website domain cost. And I think it's like $1,000 now, and I bought it for like a couple bucks. But really just bowls, I love them. That's really where it came from. I'm actually bowl obsessed, y'all.
Dude, I can totally relate to you there as you're saying that, because I'm the girl who will make a smoothie in my Ninja blender, and then I won't eat it from the like container, the little cup. I'll pour it into a bowl so I can eat it.
I love it.
So I am with you on the bowl theme. I think that's love great. And it also kind of provides you some sort of structure or some consistency that your followers can follow or can rely on, really. So I think that's another cool aspect too. Do you feel like there's a consistent, you know, problem or barrier to entry that you see your audience having with food and creating their own food that you like to address?
Sure. People look at food pictures or food bloggers or recipes and get overwhelmed, I think. And what I hear a lot is, oh, I don't have time for that, or I don't really know how to do that. And so how I learned was watching and learning from other people and watching the Food Network, because I'm visual. And so I feel as though when I do my step-by-steps recipes and stories, which I kind of feel like I'm a little bit known for, I feel like that helps people because it shows them, hey, I saw Erica do this. I can saute that also, and then move on to the next step. You know, I really try to break it down or focus on when I'm in stories, I really try to think of like my next door neighbor or my friend's mom who who has a lot of questions about cooking, and I try to really break it down so it doesn't seem outrageous and it can be approachable. And so I really try to hone in on that, because the biggest problem that I do see, to answer your question, is people just get overwhelmed and don't think they can do it.
Well, and also, you know, the group and the community on Instagram that is, you know, foodie, if you will, content creators, there's, you know, yes, there are so many, but there's also such a community of you guys that I see when I go in as a brand. And if I look at your photo, I see maybe like 20 other people that we also work with commenting and engaging and encouraging you, which is just so cool. I love that. I love that you guys have created your own little tribe on Instagram, and you guys all have each other's back. So talk to me a little bit about what that's like from an influencer side. What is it like having all of these virtual friends?
Oh my gosh, it's the craziest thing. I have to tell you, it is the most rewarding part of starting Bowl Obsessed, hands down. If you were to say, Erica, you're going to meet some friends on Instagram, you're like, you're freaking crazy. Like, no, I'm not. It's just me, and I'm in this for me, you know, and it's so not like that. And it's been the most beautiful, amazing surprise. And like you said, community. I have met genuine friends on Instagram, on this platform, and we truly do love and support each other genuinely. It's not to get likes or comments back. It's like, oh my gosh, I love what you're doing. I hear you. I see you. I love it. And that has been just the most rewarding part of this Instagram community and account, in my opinion. It's a beautiful thing.
And I'm sure that you get a lot of comments from people who, you know, find value from the recipes and stuff that you provide. How do you feel like you cultivate your community?
I just think being open and being approachable is very helpful. I do my best to answer any questions as possible when they get asked. And what makes my day is when people take a food that they made and they send it to me because they're so proud of what they made. That is exciting to me. But I think just trying to find that common ground. We all want the same thing. We all want to be the healthiest version of ourselves. And so let's help each other do that together.
Absolutely. I think one of the reasons why I love following you, just, you know, as a friend and an admirer, is how down to earth and real you are, and how you truly, you're so humble in a way that's like, okay, I'm just here doing my thing in my lane, and I'm going to cheer you on for what you're great at and from what I can learn from you. So it's just so great to meet people like you said, online, that turn into real life friendships.
Yes, like you.
Yes, it's such a beautiful thing. And also, you know, I was lucky enough to meet you at Expo West. How is it when you do get to meet the brands that you work with in person?
Oh my gosh, it is a game changer. I'm so fortunate and so grateful that I got to go to Expo West this year. And it's because of a relationship I made with another brand. I actually went to support them as well. And so I got to kind of go as well and then do my own thing. And that's how I was able to go and mingle and meet you. And I just think putting a face with the name of the person that you're communicating with is huge. You know, I gave you a really big hug right away after we finally connected. And it's just because I feel like, for one, you're so good at making a relationship with your community as well. But it's really so important to treat everyone just like a regular person, right? And they're just to be human. We're all human, and there's a face behind each brand, and that was really cool. I will say, and this is pretty funny, that I would go up to some of the brands that I've been working with or am familiar with, and I would say, "Hey, I'm Erica," because I was in another brand's t-shirt, and like, "Oh, cool, hi," and I'm like, "I'm Bowl Obsessed," and they're like, "Oh my god, we love you," and it was just really funny. So just Bowl Obsessed, and I'll live, and that's awesome.
Honestly, thank goodness for situations and scenarios where you feel like it's appropriate to introduce yourself by your Instagram name, like Expo West, because it's not like, oh, hey, I run into you on the street and, you know, we talk to each other in the form of Instagram.
Exactly. And that cracks me up, but it's really a real thing. So.
Honestly, yeah. And it's just kind of adjusting to the new world that we live in for sure. So speaking of other brands that you work with, how do you typically connect with brands that you want to work with? Do they reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? What do you typically look for when you're vetting a brand to work with?
Sure. That's a good question. So when I was starting, I was extremely timid. And cause it can be overwhelming and, you know, I'm just this little person, you know, trying to do this Instagram thing and, reaching out was very overwhelming. I would say I play the long game a little bit and I have found that that works for me. I don't reach out a ton because I never want to say, hey, I just want to work with y'all. What can we do together? Because they get that all day long. And I actually think before I even started working with your brand, I was just tagging the crap out of y'all because I genuinely used it all day, every day for 2 years, even before I even started my account. It's a brand that I believe in 100%. And I was just hoping to kind of be noticed, if that makes sense. And that's how I handled that at the very beginning. I think if I do reach out to companies, which it's been very far and few between, I'll lead in and tell them why, hey, I love this product. I currently use it instead of a blind, oh, hey, let me try your product. And I do vet companies. I truly think that if they don't align with my values, my nutritional values, then, you know, I can be really, really picky. And I do say no a lot for those reasons if brands reach out to me as well.
I really respect that and I appreciate that. And I want to go back to your point about just tagging us nonstop. I honestly think, and I've said this before in previous episodes, that it's one of the best way to catch a brand's attention is if you're willing to put out content for free. And I know not everyone can do that for every brand, but let's say, like you said, that you want to play the long-term game and you want to pick, you know, 3 to 5 brands that you really do love and use in your everyday life. And you just create content and tag them. You know, you put in that work on the front end to prove that you do love and use the brand, like you mentioned that you did for ours. And what it shows the brand is that, hey, this is going to be an authentic partnership. And this person's followers are going to trust this person's recommendation because this is a very organic beginning to a relationship. And of course, on both ends, that's going to pay off in the long run. Just like when you mentioned, you know, when you meet people in person that you work with online, even through email, you can tell when someone's being genuine or not. And you can tell when someone is truly in it because it's their passion. Versus when they're trying to chase a paycheck, you know, even just from our email correspondence and like talking on DMs, when you tag us in your stories and things like that, you can just see a really, really big difference. Like it's hard to miss someone who is super passionate, and that's a really magnetic thing. And that's kind of what brands should be looking out for when they're choosing influencers. So you're just such a perfect example of that.
Thank you so much. And that means a lot to me because I really, that's how I felt as though it should be anyway, especially not knowing how it worked at the beginning. And it really has paid off in the long run. And I just adore working with all y'all. I worked with Bailey first.
Yeah.
And by the way, for those listening, Julia's interview with Bailey on the previous episode is a must listen to. It's fantastic. So many gems in there. But I just remember, I think she even reached out to me back in the day and built a great relationship with her too. I just think you guys just do such a good job and you're a perfect example of how a brand should act as well.
I love when there's a synergy and it fits so perfectly because obviously I'm going to continue working with you over and over and over again and trying to do my best from my side to have opportunities to give you exposure because you are so great to us. So it really is an equal partnership. And that's another big thing too. It's not like, you know, you're just doing stuff for us, or we're just doing stuff for you. And I want to kind of, on that same vein, talk about how when you're small or when you're growing, how brands can add value to you without necessarily doing like a monetary exchange. So for example, like you recently did an amazing day in the life video series for us.
Oh my God, was it good? I didn't know. I don't think
so. No, it's so good. You're going to love to see it. And so, you know, for us, even though she is putting a lot of time and thought and effort into creating these amazing videos for us, our hope is that we can also expose our audience to Erica. So that way they can go follow her and continue getting tips and advice and inspiration from her.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no. So it kind of just reminded me of maybe the two of us discussing or like exploring ways in which people, when they're growing, especially when they're below 10K and maybe they don't have the swipe up, how you can, as a brand, give value to influencers and vice versa. How can, you know, micro or nano influencers really stand out and kind of grow with brands?
Absolutely. So I would say just even a little bit of recognition goes a long way. That can be a like, a comment. If you see that that influencer used your product, and just to let them know, hey, I see you. I saw this. Good job. That is huge. And I always loved that from at the beginning as well. I was like, oh, good. They did see that. You know, I put some time in this photo, and I love that they saw it. Does that make sense? And even in stories are a great way to give a little shout out, show a little love in a genuine way. Stories are huge. People love stories. And I think I get more viewerships on my stories than I do likes on my photos sometimes. So that can be a great way to just show some love as well without doing, you know, a financial exchange, if you will.
Totally. And you're another person who is so good on stories. I mean, everyone who's listening will already know this, but like your voice is so calming and soothing. I think when I first heard you talk like on stories, when we first started working together, I was like, I bet this girl has a beautiful singing voice.
Oh man. So I used to sing actually, but it's so funny because I hate my voice. Every time I listen to my stories back, I'm like, ew, really? Why are people watching this? Like, I don't know, but thank you.
No, I love it. It's a weird compliment because like, I'm very thankful for it, but when people tell me that I have a good podcast voice, I'm like, thank you. I really do appreciate that. But I also think it's weird listening to myself. So I think that's pretty normal.
It is normal. Yes, you do. I concur. You have a fabulous speaking voice. we're our worst critics though, aren't we?
Always. Yeah. So was it difficult transitioning onto stories? I know it can be sort of a challenge and a plot twist to add video to a food blog. Mm-hmm. So do you look up to anybody who does stories really well or has grown their food blog in any certain way? And how do you think that stories has helped you?
Sure. So really quick, I'm going to tell you how I figured out stories because that's pretty hilarious. I was getting my hair done and I was in the salon and I had foils all up in my hair, you know, the usual. And I actually think that your brand regrammed my photo on your feed. And it was the first regram I had ever had. So I was super stoked. I even texted my parents. I was like, oh my God, I got regrammed. And I wanted to share it in stories. And this is when they kind of first came out. And I was a little timid at starting them. I didn't really get it. And I took a snapshot of the regram on your feed. And I wanted to share and say, hey, thank you for the regram, love. You know, like, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I couldn't figure it out for like 15 minutes. It should be so simple. How can I not figure this out? So I found the youngest girl, like a 20-something, you know, girl on her phone. And I was like, surely she'll know. So I walk over to her and I sit down next to her for a few minutes and she shows me how to do stories. And so that's how I figured it out. And it's been history ever since. But I do think that stories is huge and it's a great tool a free tool to use to grow your audience. People want to know you. People want to see you. They want to see what you're doing. They want to see what you're up to. And it can sound a little stalkery, but it is so important to utilize. And, you know, I had to get over like looking like crap, and now I don't care. I even did a zit cam the other day and put like zit cream all over my face and showed everyone, because people want to relate to you. They want to see you. And I even do stuff non-food related. And the time when I'm most vulnerable is when I actually get the most feedback back, that people appreciate it. So just always be yourself and don't try to be something you're not. As far as accounts that I look up to, I really, I went through a phase where I was watching stories all day, every day. Like, I'm talking insomnia, couldn't sleep because I was just watching everyone's stories, and because they were interesting, and I wanted to see what my friends were up to. I'm kind of stepping away from doing that and just focusing on myself, because it can be a lot, and I don't watch as many anymore, just to be honest. I'm kind of a little picky on who I watch now, but just my friends on Instagram that I've met, I think that it just helps them, for the same reason I stated, just to get people to know you. And I actually feel close to people when people know who I am. So I just feel I take so much pride and love with my following, because I feel like they know me. And that would just be my biggest thing. I don't know if you wanted accounts specifically. I kind of failed on that part, but.
Girl, no, there's so much that I want to say in response to that. First off, I love that our brand will forever in your memory be connected to your first sorry experience. And I love the visual of the foil in your hair, because girl, don't you know that that's my life too, all the time. Being a blonde is hard. And you know what? I think reposting your stuff is like, honestly, we love, love, love. And that's another big benefit to creating long-term relationships, is like, if there's any opportunity for me to give Erica some extra love, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to volunteer you for everything, because you are so good to us. And, you know, it is a two-way street. So I think that's just like all around such like a heartwarming story. I love that. And we love reposting you. So thanks for all you do. And I also wanted to note on your vulnerability equals more engagement, because you're so right. Everyone wants just to relate to other humans, I think. And I feel so connected to my internet friends, kind of back to what you were saying earlier. I truly feel like those are some of my favorite people in my life, especially because my job centers around these types of relationships. And I really have seen how meaningful these relationships can be virtually, essentially. I'm totally with you there. And I think it's a good example for you to share, you know, kind of how you can, even though your content and your category might be more food, you do still find ways via stories and other areas to show your personality and to bring in your life and to get to know people, because you're right. That is such an important part of the entire, well, that's the point. That's the point of having these communities and being an influencer, is having that two-way communication with your audience. And I think it can get stale or sometimes hard if you're a foodie blogger, you know, it's just like bowl after beautiful bowl. But if you really want to grow and you want to continue to have an engaged audiences, then you have to kind of let them into your life. So I commend you for that. That's a great takeaway. And another thing I wanted to say, clearly I had a lot of inspo just then, is that I've experienced the same thing of overwhelm and kind of burnout with like watching too many people's stories. But for me, it's with podcasts. So I think it's just a good lesson to know that whichever industry you're in, or whatever, you know, whether you are in business and you read a lot of business articles, or you're watching Cheddar TV all day or CNN, it can get overwhelming for anyone. So I think it's important to, you know, I had to limit myself to one podcast a day because I was just having too much come my way, and I was overwhelming myself and comparing myself too much to other people, which is not healthy or productive. So I think, you know, what you mentioned about having to be very specific and choosy with who you listen to and who you watch on a daily basis is so important to avoid burnout.
I completely agree. And also, sorry, I'm just going to chime in here again. Taking even a break, a digital detox break is huge, because you're, like you were saying, you're listening to so many podcasts, you're having information overload, and the comparison game is a real thing. And every time that I feel like I'm getting to that point, because I always want it to be fun. I don't ever want it to be stressful. I don't ever want it, don't ever want to be like, oh my gosh, well, they're working with someone, how come I can't? Or their photos are way better than mine. Oh my gosh. Like, anytime I get to that point, I take a break. I take a little bit of a detox, a phone detox, if you will, and bring back my why. Why am I doing this? And then that seems to just go away. Because again, we're all human. We all have those thoughts and we all get overstimulated. And it's just important to not only take care of you first, but just know that there's plenty to go around. There's time for everything. We can all make time for things that are important, but it's okay to take a break.
100%. Totally with you. Have you ever received product from a brand that you didn't like? And if you did, how did you handle that situation?
Sure. That's a really good question. First of all, get comfortable with the uncomfortable, because it will probably happen. I remember getting some product, and after testing and actually looking more into, let's just say, ingredients, it didn't really align with me. And how I handled it was, I was just honest. I feel like the best thing you can do is say, you know, I really appreciate you sending this to me. I know there's a lot of people out there you could send it to, and thank you for choosing me, first off. Secondly, this wasn't for me, but here's why. And they can do what they want with that information, but as long as you're honest, I think that's just all you can do, and let it go from there.
Yeah, no, that's a super mature and appropriate way to handle it. And I think that it's more of a detriment to your brand to post about something that you don't truly believe in than to do it just, you know, for the sake of creating another relationship. Have you ever posted something, or have you ever gotten negative feedback on your channel, and how did you handle that?
Oh my gosh. So yes, I received in stories, actually, a DM responding to one of my stories. So it took a year. I went a whole year without anything negative. And I definitely got one negative comment on something that I posted. I can't remember what it was. It probably wasn't even that important, but just a troll, just a hater. And I actually shared it in stories and blocked out their information, obviously. And I was like, well, this is funny. And just laughed about it, laughed it off, and moved on. You can't please everyone. There will always be people that don't like what you're doing or don't believe in what you're doing. And it doesn't matter. I mean, obviously I want people to like me and like what I'm doing, but you just can't please everyone. And so you just got to be okay with that.
I love that. First of all, did you have anyone respond to your repost and say anything about it?
Yes, I definitely did. And it actually worked to my benefit, because I got so many DMs. I'm like, this is funny, because this engagement actually helps me, you know? But yeah. And people were kind of just super supportive of me and being like, that person's crazy, ignore them, you're awesome. And I'm really glad I did that. Maybe that wasn't the most mature thing to do at that moment, but it felt good and moved right on.
Hey, you know what, Erica? There are no rules on Instagram, and we're all just doing the best we can. So no judgment. So I wanted to circle back to something that you said earlier when you were talking about that you've recently started your blog. A topic and a important development in influencer marketing and just the influencer world right now, I feel like, is how unpredictable Instagram is and how so many people's lives depend on a platform that they have no control over. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on why you decided to start a blog and maybe, you know, what you think about one day moving your business or your life or your passion off of Instagram. You know, like worst case scenario, Instagram stops tomorrow. What do you do?
Exactly. Well, first off, if Instagram stops tomorrow, people are just going to go into a straight panic. Remember that day when it shut down for a day and people were literally confused to what to do with their time? Me being one of them, I was like, well, Brent, grab your coat. We're going out because I'm putting my
No, you I know? Mean, seriously, honestly, it's probably like a good thing for humanity. But the fact that my job honestly does revolve around it is just kind of sad at times.
I hear you. No, I agree. Well, two reasons why I started my blog. One, I felt the need because I kept getting a question from brands, hey, do you have a blog? And I kept saying no. And so I was thinking, you know what, I should probably look into this. So I just felt in the direction I was moving that I needed and wanted one. Again, another piece of the internet that's mine. And I do think that we get so caught up on Instagram on the numbers that there's bloggers out there that are making huge money and making blogging is their career, and they've made a very amazing career out of it, but they have, you know, less followers than me. And so I think we get too caught up on the numbers. And I think that if Instagram were to go away, for me personally, I would probably struggle a little bit because I don't put as much time into my blog right now as I do Instagram, sadly enough. I do upload my recipes, but I'm not up at midnight in making blog posts. Like, that's not my jam. I'm not the best writer to begin with, you know, to be honest. So I really consider it more of a recipe hub. And if I'm passionate about something, I'll go ahead and write it. But for me, my business maybe one day could take off on the blog. And that's obviously, I have it open to do so if Instagram tanks, because who knows, it actually might go tomorrow. So I just think it's an important question to ask yourself, what if Instagram goes away? What am I doing? What is my business without Instagram? And I do think that we should all consider that possibility.
Definitely. And you're one of those people who, you know, this is still your side hustle, even though it is also, it's kind of, actually, let's be real, it's a second full-time job.
Absolutely.
But, you know, you do have, you know, the other career to fall back on, if you will. So, but I think, you know, do you see yourself in the future wanting to take this blogging thing full time?
Absolutely. That's the dream, right? I mean, to just do that. And I would love that, to be able to do that one day. I'm not there yet, but again, playing the long game is where I'm at. And I think that I am open to that possibility, hopefully one day, because I just love it so much. And I feel like, and this is so cliche, if you love what you're doing, it's not working. But I mean, I can honestly tell you, I counted my sponsored post since January. We're now in July. I think it's under 10 sponsorships. And I don't even care, because a bad day on Instagram is still a good day to me, because I get to cook and I get to take a photo and I get to create content, and that's still so fun for me. Yes, I don't have to depend on it right now, but it would be fun, and I think about it all the time, and I would love to dive into more topics and more, I like the word you used earlier, another vein, right? I think a travel is something that I love to do as well. And I feel like there's so many other things that I could and want to do. And it would be amazing to do this full time one day.
On that vein, is there a certain benchmark that you're looking for? Or are you, you know, do you have a certain plan in place? Like, hey, if I get to this point, then I'll make this my full time thing.
Oh man, I ask my husband that all the time. Like, when can I quit? Like, when can I stop working, please? So for me, the longest time, my goal with what I'm doing was to hit 10K. Maybe it was the swipe up feature that I was obsessing over. But I really feel like just moving forward, I definitely feel like I gained a little bit more credibility because of the numbers, because I finally hit 10K. And so that's been awesome. So obviously, more the next milestone is like 15K and 20K. But for my business, I think if I can make it a lucrative business, I can go to Brent and say, look, you know, here's what I'm making now. Is it possible for me to quit? Can we talk about it? But for me, that would be the next, would be the reason why, how I could do that.
And what do you think is the biggest challenge for you right now, or thing preventing your growth, if anything?
Maybe it's, to me, I need to be a little bit more creative with what I'm doing. Sometimes I feel like I put all this work into a post and it's not getting seen. And I really try to not get into that too much, because so many people feel that same way. And there's a bunch of people doing what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything different. I'm not reinventing like a smoothie bowl, right? I'm not doing anything new, or maybe that hasn't been done before. I'm just doing what I do and what I love. So I don't really know if there's anything holding me back, except for me maybe not diving in more into different avenues. I am trying to say yes to every opportunity. And this past year has been amazing after I've done that, you know. Getting out of my comfort zone more would probably help. I don't know if I answered the question very well, but
yeah, that's a super interesting point, and I completely agree with you, because I think that so many, this is a problem. Saturation is a thing in this community, and it's important to constantly reevaluate what you're doing. And of course, none of us are reinventing the wheel. This isn't the first podcast on influencer marketing even, but you know, we just have to kind of focus on what unique perspective and value that we bring, because we all do. And if we can tap into that, that's the magic that kind of unlocks the potential. So, I mean, you're right on track. Like, sometimes we are the only things holding ourselves back.
So, and Liu giving me this opportunity to speak with you and be a part of your podcast, I mean, that's huge for me. I hope I'm interesting and people like it and they get something from it. But like, this to me is growth in itself. And I'm just so appreciative for and honored to even be on here. And so things like that are what make it all worth it, and what are important, you know?
100%. And I appreciate you coming on. And it's one thing that I love about podcasts in general, is that you could pick any kind of podcast, any episode on any topic, where whether you know about it or not, and you're going to get something out of it. So that's why I love this medium so much. And obviously I wouldn't have you on here if I didn't know for sure that you would be such a fun guest to have and that people could learn so much from you. So don't you even worry about that. And to give you a little bit of a boost, because you do have so much great perspective and you are a great example of someone who's living out and sharing their passion for literally no other reason but the love of what you do on Instagram. So what advice would you give someone starting out who really wanted to share a passion or a creative side of theirs on Instagram?
Sure. It's a great question. I would write down, just pen and paper, pen in hand, and just do some brainstorming on why you want to do this. Why are you passionate about this? Whether it's lifestyle, fashion, food, whatever. What do you think that you can bring to the table? Why do you want to start this? I just think that is super important for anyone starting. And, you know, be yourself. It's so, again, cliche, but there's a reason why it's the same. You talk about a lot about authenticity as well. And that's truly where the magic happens. Nothing bad will happen if you're yourself, in my opinion. And there's so much grace and beauty in being real that all that, the only thing that can happen is good from that. And so as long as you know why you're doing something and you're true to who you are, people are going to want to hear what you have to say, want to see what you're doing, and want to support you.
Retweet, girl. I couldn't believe in that more. Honestly, that's what keeps me doing this podcast day in and day out. I'm like you in the beginning where I'm posting every single day and doing it kind of on the fly as I go, as I feel inspired, just because that's what's working for me right now. And I'm really holding on to the fact that, you know, if I am actually so passionate about this, that hopefully one day, you know, other people will slowly start to get some value from what I'm doing and it positively impact someone's life just from me doing something that I love. So there really is no greater reward than that in getting to speak to people like you who inspire me on a daily basis and that make me so grateful for what I do and that, you know, you are the good part of the influencer marketing industry and Instagram even. So I just love the opportunity to let people get to know content creators like you and how much time and energy and love that you put into it.
Thank you so much.
It's a big old love fest, Erica.
It totally is. And I love it.
Perfect. And do you run the blog yourself? I know we didn't get into any of those details, but like, you know, did you create the blog? Did you have to teach yourself how to create a website? What was that like?
Oh my gosh. That is my nemesis. So I am terrible at all things like, it surprises me I can run Instagram. So I did hire someone to build my website, but I gave her everything that's written is me and my voice. And now I run it myself. She gave me a little starter course. Like we did 30 minutes Skype and she showed me how to maneuver through my website. And but everything is mine. Everything written is mine. All the photos are mine. And I can now run it on my own.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I think that's another good call out too. Sometimes you got to outsource what you're not great at.
Totally. Absolutely.
Same here. I'm lucky I married someone who is a software engineer and can build a website in 2 seconds. So.
What? Oh my gosh. If you want to come help me because I need some help with stuff, but
of course. Well, where can people find you? How can they follow along and listen to your glorious voice all the time?
Oh yes. So go to the handle bowl obsessed, and you can also check out my recipes on my blog, which is also bowlobsessed.com.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to chat with me. This was so much fun.
So much fun. Thank you so much for having me. I love what you're doing. Everyone listen to Julia and the Added Podcast. It's awesome.
Oh, you're the best.
So something about that episode, or maybe it's the fact that I just watched The Lion King, but it makes me want to sing Can You Feel the Love Tonight. I'm not going to do that to you guys because I'm not a singer, but I hope you guys felt the love in that episode. Erica and I are so passionate about what we do. We appreciate each other so much for what we bring to the table. And I just feel so lucky that someone like Erica is someone I work with on a regular basis and is such a cheerleader in life and in my profession. So again, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed everything Erica and I had to say and chat about today. Now, don't forget, before you X out of this podcast, just go back into Apple Podcasts and leave a review. That would be amazing. Super appreciated. You can even share this in your Instagram stories. Let us know what you learned, what your takeaway is. You can follow me at Added Value Podcast on Instagram. Would love to connect with you there and keep hanging out until the next episode drops. So I hope you guys have a stellar rest of your day and we'll chat soon.